All right. So how are you feeling now with the slave driver gone? You feel that void, that space? All right. Now what you're going to need to do and to remember to do in your daily life is to be on the lookout, to be aware when the slave driver comes in. Catch it as soon as you can. Because if you go unconscious, as we told you earlier, you go right back into the old familiar storyline. And your slave driver will pull you right back on the old track towards the old goals. The slave driver on your day-to-day life, you're going to find that it's not such a simple thing as to get your motivation restored. It's been a long time since you've had more than a few pieces of time here and there in true motivation. The slave driver tends to take over all the mundane activities, all the required activities that you're supposed to do, and to keep you moving forward. It's supposed to keep you on program. So the part of you that's been on program has been the majority of your daily life. Maybe you have given yourself some time off just to enjoy being. But be very aware that a lot of your time off from the slave driver was actually a period of resistance to the slave driver. It's one of the reasons why people smoke pot. When you smoke pot, the slave driver disappears. That's why some people want to be on it all the time. And that's why society and the culture is really annoyed at potheads, because they have no motivation. They are not doing anything. They're just lazy. They're just totally lazy. Those potheads are just escapist, lazy bums. Spoken with, of course, a certain air of jealousy. But at the same time, it does cancel out the slave driver. If you don't have your own motivation, if you smoke pot, you're going to feel really nice, but you're going to be a bump on a log. You're not really going to do anything. You're not going to really activate your creative juice. You'll think about some stuff. Maybe you'll wander around in your mind and get some really great things going and be very creative and fantasias of all sorts and sizes and colors and all sorts of great things. But when you come right back to it and you come down and you're off of it and you're back to your normal, quote unquote, consciousness, slave driver comes right back in, and it's very difficult to follow through on anything that you've dreamed up while you've been stoned. Some of you know this, right? Some of you notice this. How do you get things going once you're back to normal? Well, let's smoke some more pot. We'll get back to that great space. But that great space is not a place of action, because your true motivation isn't anchored into your physical action. All you do is just get the slave driver off of you. But that's why it's so helpful for people, for example, with glaucoma. They use it for that, because glaucoma is a tremendous amount of pressure from the slave driver to see your future, to get it going. Come on, see what you're doing. Come on, get it. See it. Too much pressure. All right? Trying wildly to see, lots of fear about the future. And it raises the pressure in the eyes. Right? So pot will just, reduce that pressure tremendously. And they have drops too of cannabinoids and whatever you put in your eyes, and it really reduces the ocular pressure. So it will reduce pressure. People with high blood pressure and under tremendous stress, as soon as you get the slave driver off, kick back. Oh, gosh, I can relax and enjoy, and my body feels so good, and I feel so loose, and so on. Yeah, the slave driver makes you tense. It makes you tight. It holds your muscles tight. You keep flexing your muscles or holding them rigid. A lot of aging symptoms are actually chronic slave driver. A lot of health problems, chronic slave driver. Right? Even if the slave driver doesn't tend or doesn't seem to be taking over your life, its influence can be so huge that, and if you're not aware of the distinction between being with the slave driver and without the slave driver, you're not going to catch it. That's why it's really important to pay attention. If you have to fire the slave driver again, do so. But the slave driver will want to return from retirement the next time that you feel you've got to do something you don't particularly want to do and you need to motivate yourself to do it. Slave driver will show up the next cup of coffee. Right? Slave driver will show up the next major task that you've been dreading. Oh, I guess I've got to do it now. Slave driver will say, okay, I'm here. I'm ready. Let's do it. So the slave driver will respond to your call. The point is that once you know what calls the slave driver, you will then consciously and deliberately over time be able to drop it so you don't keep calling the slave driver. In other words, when you're faced with doing things and you're wondering, am I motivated? You ask yourself, am I really motivated to do this? Is this from my true motivation? And say, well, I really don't feel like it. I feel obligated to do it. I must do it. If there's any guilt in there or any fear in there, it's integrated so deeply with the slave driver that it might be impossible for you to even imagine how to do anything without the slave driver that you have to do. And here's how you do it. All right. How do you motivate yourself to do stuff you have to do? First thing is to recognize that everything that you have chosen that you have to do, down to earning the paycheck, down to paying the bills, getting the groceries, cleaning the kitchen, whatever it is, all the tasks that are there for you, managing your money, going to the bank, going to the doctor, blah, 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 all the things. The slave driver has been making you do it. It'll scare you or guilt you, right? So anytime there's anything that's there that you're not motivated to do, unless you're guilt-tripped or scared, you've got the scenario for the slave driver. Now, recognize that you're doing all of these things really for you. The real intention for these things is to be beneficial for you, to maintain your life. If your life doesn't have much value, if you're worn out from your battle with the slave driver and you don't have any energy left for you, then these things become a burden. They become a chore. They become a way that even though you are supporting yourself and doing things for yourself, these are things that actually you feel that by doing them you're depleted. That's not because they deplete you, but because without the slave driver or with the slave driver, you've given your power away to the slave driver. And so therefore, every time you do that task, you bring in the slave driver to make you do it. You give your power to the slave driver and it depletes your solar plexus. You lose energy. Sometimes you lose it also from the throat. But most often it's lost from your solar plexus. And that's where then the energy drops through and you can't be in happiness because it doesn't let the energy come up to your heart chakra. So you're unhappy. At the same time, you're depleted. It's enough to go into depression. Right? So, the way to think about it is this. Is to recognize you're doing it for yourself. It is your love for yourself. That's what it is. Everything you do out of love, nurturance, support for you. If you're doing stuff that isn't loving for you, love being one of the four principles by which you make choices, is it loving for you? We're not talking about your ego being loved. We're talking about you. You, your body, your psyche, your beingness, your spiritual self, your true self. That's where to want to look at. If it's not loving for you, if you're doing it strictly out of some kind of duty or obligation and you don't feel it is supporting you in any way, then you have to move to another level of choice making about it. But if it is something that is helpful for you, like even going to the doctor, yeah, you got to do it. You got to go to the dentist, get your teeth cleaned or whatever. But it's helpful for you. It's beneficial for you. So do it as an act of love and support for you. You have to reframe it. In other words, you have to take the orientation to it away from the slave driver, which is, oh, this is taking you away from the track and from achieving your goals. This is a side trip. This is wasting your time on you. No, I'm supporting me. This is something that's good for me, good for my body, good for my life, good for me. Cleaning the house, it's good for me because when there's a sense of order, I feel more peace, for example. It's not necessarily true all the time, but however it works for you. But to realize that then there are some things that are duty obligations that do not feel loving for you. An example of this would be some kind of annoying family obligation. Okay? Or some extra work obligation. But family obligations tend to suck up a lot of energy. And if, especially if it's with a sibling or a parent or somebody that does not accept you, that does not appreciate you, does not respect you. And here you are giving your power away to them and depleting yourself. Yeah, you bring in your slave driver to guilt trip you into doing it. You're a bad daughter, you know. You really need to have family. You need to be good to your family. That's all you've got in this world. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, the slave driver knows all your buttons. And will do them to guilt trip you. So, in that case, what you have to do is say, okay, I've got to look at this whole obligation thing. I've got to complete this obligation and not take it on more. If that's not possible, I've got to then do it less, and I've also got to stand up for who I am more. I've got to be me more. I've got to be truer to me. And I've got to protect my solar plexus and not give my power away. I've got to do it out of choice, as a exercise, as an education for me. If you deal with unpleasant situations in your family, and you feel obligated that you have to do it, you know, like, oh, this may be the last Thanksgiving we're here. You got to fly halfway across the country to be here for Thanksgiving. And you know that all Thanksgiving you're going to be miserable because you're going to get picked on and you can't even talk about anything that you're interested in. You better do it, or the slave driver said, you better do it or you won't be in the will. Or if you don't do it and they die, you'll feel so bad. Don't have any regrets. Do it now. Go there now. There are some people, adult children, whose parents have them so well trained that every year their parents say, this is probably our last year. And they've been doing that for 10 years, you know. And I'm like, when are they going to die? For heaven's sakes. Ooh, oops, I feel really guilty thinking that. When are they going to get out of here? Oh, well, no, I can't think that. Sometimes there are ornery. You see, you have contracts with your parents, contracts with your family members to do certain, trip you up with certain games and teach you some of your themes, life themes, messages. Sometimes your parents, if your parents are really obnoxious, you have a really hard time with them and they don't accept you. You have to get to a place of really accepting them and not taking on their stuff, not taking it personally, really being clean, clear, and loving them before they'll go. Because they're going to hang on until you get it. Now, hopefully, you have a better relationship with your parents than that. But we have known many people who, you know, are waiting and waiting and waiting. Well, when are they going to die and give me my freedom? And they go on 80, 85, 90, 95, you know, it's like, ah, when am I ever going to live, you know. So we are hoping that you have a wonderful relationship with your parents if they're still alive. But if you don't, you've got some work to do. You've got to learn how to be yourself, stand up, be healed, be free, and stand in your truth, even with them. And understand that they're not going to understand you if you speak your truth. And so sometimes you don't actually have to. You just know that it's kind of useless not to. But you don't give them your power anyway. You learn how to hold your power, and you learn how to just think whatever you want to think and to smile. And say, okay, I'm going to give them a gift. I'll see how that feels. And you play with it and see where your boundaries are and see who you are and see if you can maintain your resonance and give them love and bring in love into your heart and send love to their heart. See if you can project. See if you can give. Knowing that you can juice yourself up in other ways. Many people with their families just lose all their energy. They go out and visit their family and then they come back from visit and they're exhausted. Absolutely wiped out. Because of the stress, because of the, you know, adjustments and a little bit of losing power and duty obligation matrix, they get to can get exhausted. But you see, if you have your own way to juice up, if you can juice up with the forces of nature, that's the forces that underlie the consensus reality. The forces of nature are under the mainstream. They're under every manifestation on the planet. No manifestation can happen without the forces of nature. You can either receive this power from the forces of nature through the channel of the consensus or mainstream reality culture to you in the form of money or energy or attention or whatever, or you can get it directly. So be aware that you can give when you can have channels open for receiving, and that will help you deal with your family. Or with those duties and obligations that you just cannot, you know, seem to let go of. If you have children that are always running out of money and needing to come home. Or if you have a situation with a sick spouse or a sick family member you must support. Sometimes it really is wearing. The caregivers are exhausted sometimes. They have to reframe it. So there's a whole bunch of things that you need to look at as far as the motivation. If you're the one that needs to be taken care of, you need to be able to give that person taking care of you their space, their power. Don't take anything from them of the intangible sort like that, because otherwise you get some resentment. And there gets to be exhaustion. You can send them energy. You can, and then juice yourself up with the forces. Then keep sending them energy and love and so forth and respect and care on an intangible level while you juice up with the forces directly. You always have to receive. You cannot do giving without receiving Otherwise, then it becomes forced giving, i.e. earning, and you've lost your power. This is critical to keeping the slave driver out. If as soon as you recognize the slave driver's come in and you're starting to go through that little guilty squirm and feeling anxious and restless and you feel like you got to jump up and you're like, really, oh, I can't waste any more time. I got to get going. But what? You know, what do I do now? I got to do something fast. If you get into one of those places, then stop and feel the guilt and feel the fear. Hear the messages of the slave driver and recognize you don't have to respond knee-jerk automatically. You're not a powerless thing. Slave driver is your employee. It's like letting a file clerk take over the corporate office. It's not, you know, don't give it too much away, you know. You've given so much of your power away to make it get you there. And it's not going to get you there. The slave driver doesn't give you anything. That's what distinguishes it from the ego. All right? The ego maintains your boundaries of distinction between you and your outside world, but it's the ego that's the fetch and bring. The ego brings stuff to you. It's through your ego channel. If you have a healthy ego, that's great. If you have the slave driver on your back, your ego is not going to be healthy either. The slave driver doesn't give you anything. The slave driver is in charge of your forced giving. That's what the slave driver does. That's why it's called a slave driver. It's enslaving you, where you're non-voluntary giving. All right? So recognize that the slave driver, as soon as it comes in, you feel uncomfortable, you feel the discomfort, you own that it's there, you don't jump up and immediately go unconscious and run to do some whatever it is that is your adjustment routine, your hide routine, your numbing out routine, your escape routine. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just sit with it for a minute and it will pass. As soon as it passes, you're back in your power, fully in your power, and the slave driver's gone. That's all you have to do. If you say, "Be gone, slave driver," that may be just fighting the slave driver. You don't want to fight the slave driver. You don't want to give it any more energy. You're done giving it energy. Giving it juice. Basically, you just sit there and say, I will not respond to guilt and fear. And I will let it flow like a wave of particularly noxious energy. But it's like a wave. It's just going to go right through me. And I'm going to stay right here. And the more, if you do this several times, that noxious energy, that guilt and fear motivation won't be anywhere near as strong. It'll just be a little, yeah, and it's over. And you're in your power. Slave driver's gone. You don't even have to say anything to the slave driver. You don't have to go and refire the slave driver. The slave driver's gone. Until the next opportunity to guilt trip you or to put fear into you. So recognize, all you have to do is be present. And stay present. Don't run. Stay aware, awake, in the now. And the slave driver's gone. Because the slave driver's all about beating you up for the future. It's gone. That's how you handle the slave driver. And then reframe everything that you do as loving for you. If it's not loving for you, and you don't have to go through all the whole duty obligation, work it out with the family, blah, 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 whoever it is, you can drop it. As soon as the duty obligation is over, it's done. You don't go any further. You don't keep offering to go any further. Some people just keep thinking they have to, you know, give everybody everything and keep offering their support and so on. I want to be a loving person. I want to be loved. I'm going to just keep giving my support. Basically, they deplete themselves. These people are often called martyrs because they're pretty pissed underneath it all. Why, when is it going to be my turn? When am I going to ever have any fun? When are they going to give to me? It's all depletion, depletion, resentment, resentment. The slave driver makes people do that. If you want to get rid of your martyr complex, just bust the slave driver. You won't have to do it anymore. You won't go and volunteer to do all sorts of stretching and, you know, self-abnegation and sacrifice to be seen as a good person. That's just one of the slave driver's guilt trips. It was installed by your parents, probably your mother, you know, but the slave driver is the enforcer of it. That's why sometimes people have difficulty distinguishing between the critical, negative parent, toxic internal parent, and the slave driver. The internal parent, that noxious internal parent, sets up all the guilt patterns, and the slave driver just conveniently uses them. You will have internal parent speaking to you too, to guilt trip you. But the motivator is the slave driver. If you just sit still and let it pass, there's nothing your critical parent can do, nothing your slave driver can do, nothing. You're back in your power, in the present, and you're ready to make a choice that is loving for you. That's how you deal on a day-to-day basis with the absence of the slave driver, to keep it from coming back in. But then there is another critical piece. And that is, that critical piece, by the way, we need to interrupt. What is our time that we need to do, go to? Okay. So the slave driver.
Another critical piece.
Right. Okay. There's so many critical pieces. It's part of the switch and the change. But the critical piece is that you have to build now a new motivation for yourself. You have to build it. Where we left you before the break, the last break, is with it kind of cooking in your second chakra. Your second chakra is the base of your motivation. It's the foundation of that second channel we were talking about, the one of creating and imagining with desire and moving energy flow. And we're going to do a lot more with it tomorrow. We have a lot more ground to cover, but suffice it to say that overnight you're going to just recognize that as you juice up, as you can keep connecting to who you are, that motivation, keeping connected to who you are again and again and again, will serve you in such a way that you'll start to align your life in a loving orientation to yourself. Your creativity, if you can juice yourself up, your creativity can bloom. You begin to start to open up to even imagine and think of things that may be fun to do, or how you want to do them. Without energy, without the energy making it up to the top, it's really difficult to think of new things. There's a lot of people who just find themselves stalled out and don't know what to do with their lives, don't have a sense of direction, don't know how to make choices, don't know how to find a new career path, to have no clue. And because they're stopped, because their energy's gone, they don't have their kundalini. They're not using their energies. They're not receiving. So their juice, their creative juice, is not functioning. Don't let that happen to you. Make sure that you juice up a lot. That's why we do the love and healing evenings in LA. They're juice ups. When you subscribe, you get one of these a week for juice ups. Keeps you juiced up, keeps your energy moving, so that you have more energy to give, more creativity, more capacity to do what? To do things, to think up new things, to make new plans, to create. You're a creator. You want to do some creating. Gives you more energy to love, touch, heal, more energy to grow and become aware. And all of this can be lost to the slave driver when you lose your power. So juicing up, retaining your power, and staying connected to the divine you. Staying connected to your spirit helpers, perhaps. Staying connected to the forces of nature. Staying connected to people you love and who can love you. And opening to receive. And that motivation will grow. And it will start to become more apparent in every aspect of your daily life. What is your true motivation here? What do you really wish to do? It's based on who are you. If you know who you are, or if you honor, respect, and claim, own that, at least temporarily, and get yourself into a place of luminescence, a place of acknowledgement of yourself, being at least in your adult, in responsibility for who you are. From that place, you can build a new motivation. You can build a really happy, successful life. You'll have clarity. You'll stay in your power. And you won't lose your energy to your world. Many of you who've been resisting the consensus culture for so long have lost a lot of energy to it. It cannot give you energy as long as you resist it. You're not connected to it. Tomorrow, the connection, the translation. All right. So what we'd like to do to complete this day is we'd like to juice you up with the forces of nature, a process you can do yourself. Essentially what it is that you're going to go to a place in your meditation, which is an open area, the earth beneath, the sky above, and you're going to face each direction in turn, east, south, west, and north. And in each direction is going to be the personified element. Now, you may have worked with a system where there are archangels. That's fine. That works too. Or you may work with a medicine wheel system where there are certain power animals or power people holding that resonance. And that can work too. But we recommend a human figure. And what you're going to do when you call each element facing in its respective direction, you're going to connect your chakras from the root chakra to the crown chakra to the elements chakras or archangel, however you choose. And you'll connect all seven chakras. So there'll be seven lines of light between you. And you'll receive juice through these channels. You'll go out, connect. You'll send your light out to connect. They will send light through that connection back to you. A giving and a receiving. And what comes back to you may feel like more than what you gave. then you thank them. You don't have to stop the connection. You just simply thank them. And know that that juice up has happened. You turn a quarter turn to the next direction and do that. You do it all four directions. You do it for Mother Earth, who is the giver of all physical manifestation. There's nothing that you ever have that doesn't come from the earth. Now, we're even including here, you know, bits and pieces of an asteroid. Oh, yeah, these are found on the earth. They are here, physical, on the earth. They've come to the earth. Mother Earth gives whatever to you that you need. Your survival is dependent on this earth that you're on giving. She's a very powerful, powerful force, powerful being, your earth. And she's very generous and very giving. So you give to her, and she returns that to you. And then above, if you want the Native American tradition, you'd probably go to Grandfather Sky, but we would suggest go to Higher Self. Go to the higher dimension of yourself, the direction towards your spiritual connection with the divine, to God, Goddess, all that is, to that direction. And let the higher self of you, that's the self that is all your lifetimes combined and more. That self knows who you are. It has unconditional love and acceptance for you and will juice you up anytime. Right? So there are six channels of juice up. You ground to the earth and to the higher self, and they will give you their love. Right? So we could do that, and also we're going to bring in money, personified money that you met earlier, and you're going to do it with money too. You're going to connect with the force of money. It is a powerful thought form, money is. You can see what it does all over the planet. It has been made a huge, powerful, very real, dynamic thought form. And you want to get connected into it, connected to the frequency of it. And then finally, we're going to do the same with your future. So you get juiced up all sorts of ways. You ready?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Let yourself get comfortable. Hello again. What's the time now we go to?
You have 40 minutes.
All right. And that means we go to what day, time?
6:24.
All right, letting yourself get comfortable, closing your eyes, centering, breathing. Letting yourself float in a starry sky, a safe and supportive place where all your friends have gathered to be with you from the other side. You know you are so loved. There are members of your spiritual family who never went physical. You're the exponent, the representative. There are those who are master teachers, ascended masters, healers, all sorts of magicians of the past and present. There are those who are personally connected to you, who love you, who want to work with you, who have been called, in a sense, or attracted to your vibration and want to assist you in your work. They want to give to you. There are guardian angels. They're power animals. There are certain forces that are hard to explain, but are like geometric shapes and structures, much like orbs. They have consciousness. There are many elementals on all different levels, maybe even some extraterrestrials. They've come to be with you, all these sparks, all these beautiful stars in the starry sky. And then there are those that are us, mingled about, we who love you as well. We're so excited about you, about the wonderful direction you're going, about the openings into a new and wondrous greater future you're exploring. And we are here to help you too. And you close your eyes and just let yourself absorb the radiance of all this love. Like every single spark, every single star sends out a beam of light to you. So that you are the center of a thousand-spoke wheel. Let us all love you, touch you, heal you. Let us be with you, all of us. Feel the love. There's way, way more where that comes from. Let your heart chakra open to receive. And now let all your chakras open to receive. Floating there with your eyes closed, just feeling the love, the support. So many friends you have, so many loved ones, non-physical ones. Everyone on the planet has many who love them, but few even acknowledge they're there, are willing to receive, to allow themselves to be loved. And in a moment, you'll open your mental eyes, still in meditation, and you'll be in an open area, perhaps a grassy area or sandy area, under an open sky. All right. So gently open your mental eyes and be there now. And you're by yourself. Or at least that's what it feels like. There's nothing there. And you notice that the sun is overhead and there's a gentle breeze blowing. You feel the earth beneath your feet. And somewhere nearby is water. Perhaps a stream or a lake, or maybe the ocean. Or maybe just a little fountain, a pond, a lagoon, something. It's nearby, but not that close. There's a good grassy area. You walk to the top of this grassy area. There's a slight raise, a slight knoll. Just slight. And you stand there and you identify that, the directions You can sense which one is east. You just know. It's time for you to get juiced up. Time for you to receive. Open to receive now. Let yourself feel safe and open to give and receive freely. Non-forced giving, free giving, and free receiving. And you call forth the form, the power of air facing the east now. Perhaps it's Archangel Raphael. A wise one, perhaps. A form, in human form, standing there, filled with presence and power, maybe very large, maybe about your size or a little bit larger. Standing there in presence, full presence, magnetic splendor. You can feel the radiation of this force of nature, of this element of air, the knowing, the focus, the precision of air, the flow, the fluidity, the flexibility of air moving around, free, unbounded, untrammeled air, free. And you send from your root chakra now a beam of light directly over to the root chakra area of the other. And then from your second chakra directly over to the second chakra. Third chakra to third. It's just like a beam of light just shoots out and goes over and lands in the right spot. Fourth chakra, the heart chakra. Fifth, the throat chakra. Sixth, the eyebrow chakra. And seven, the crown. Connected now. You're plugged in. Feel as if you have touched this other. Now let this form radiate a loving presence to you. And now from their root chakra back to yours, a bigger beam of light comes right back, right into you. Woo! From their second chakra comes a bigger beam of light right along the same line as the beam you sent out, right over into your second chakra. Ooh, ooh, that feels good. Third chakra, over to yours. Ooh, that builds energy. That feels strong. Fourth chakra, heart chakra, over to yours. Ooh, you feel some love. You can feel as this is going on, your kundalini is rising, feeling strong, moving upwards. Their throat chakra to your throat chakra, strong, beautiful. Your true presence, your true will, invoked, activated. From their third eye to your third eye, visions of possibilities. From their crown to yours, bigger beam of light. Now big beams of light from them to you along those same pathways fill you up with air. And you feel gratitude for the juice, for the energy. And now you turn your attention by making a quarter turn to the right, to the south, to look to the south. And here is, you call the element of fire to come. If an archangel Michael may appear. Another form representing fire, maybe a Celtic form from another, or a Russian form, another way of looking at it, this form of fire, smoldering energy. You send a beam of light from your root to root, second to second, third to third, fourth to fourth, fifth to fifth, sixth to sixth, seventh to seventh. You're connected to fire, a dynamism of creativity and expression, of powerful movement, of dancing, of light, tremendous presence and impact. And then fire sends back to you through the root chakra a bigger beam coming back, moving into you. Oh, second chakra to your second chakra now. Feel the fire. It's almost warm. Maybe it's a heat. Third chakra now to your third chakra. Fourth to your fourth. Fifth to your fifth. Throat to throat. Eyebrow to eyebrow, and seventh, crown to crown. Receive. Receive some passion, some juice. Let it fill you up. Feel gratitude. And make a quarter turn now to the right to face the west. And calling the powers, the force of the west, the force of water, of healing, of flow, of momentum. A figure appears, perhaps Gabriel, the archangel, or another majestic form, the power of water, could be feminine as well, a mother, a Kuan Yin, standing there. As you send a beam from your root to root, second to second, third to third, heart to heart, throat to throat, eyebrow to eyebrow, crown to crown, and you're connected, connected to water, connected to the healing force. And now water sends back to you a bigger beam of light from root to your root, from sacral chakra to yours. From solar plexus to solar plexus, to heart to heart, from throat to throat, from eyebrow to eyebrow, and from crown to crown. Big beams of light, big juicy beams. Let yourself fill up now. Fill up with water. Feel the healing, the gentleness, the love. Fill up. There's so much unconditional love here. Fill up, fill up. Feel the gratitude. And now make a quarter turn to the right to face the north. calling the north, the power of the ancestors, the power of the wisdom of the ancients, the power of the earth. And a powerful figure, strong figure appears. Perhaps it is Uriel, the archangel, or another great force from another tradition you may have been connected with. The force of earth, strong, authoritative in presence. The power of authority and knowing, sensing, knowing your truth, standing in your truth. And you send a beam out from root to root, second to second, solar plexus to solar plexus, heart to heart, throat to throat, third eye to third eye, crown to crown. You're connected to earth. Now let yourself receive. Now earth sends you an even bigger beam from root to your root. From their second chakra to yours. Solar plexus to yours. Their heart to yours. Their throat to your throat. Their third eye to your third eye. Their crown to your crown. Feel these big beams, strong, big, powerful beams. Let yourself fill up. Fill up with earth. Fill up with authority and knowing. Feel the gratitude. Feel you be grateful, thankful. And now you turn once again, but this time you turn a half circle to face the center. Of the four elements. They still stand there, some feet away from you. You are at the center now. And now you call. You ask for the presence of Mother Earth beneath you. You feel a sense of love coming up from beneath you. And from your root chakra glows a bright red light, a ball of red light. And your chakras open up above, the second chakra orange, the third chakra yellow, the heart chakra green, the throat chakra blue, all balls of colored light just glowing, sitting there in your spine. The third eye in the center of your head behind your eyes, an indigo blue, purpley blue, and at the top of your head on the crown, a violet and the light of the violet, the ball of violet, moves down to conjoin with the indigo blue. Together they move down to the throat. They pick up the blue. They move down to the heart. They pick up green. This ball is getting bigger and bigger. And you can see the different colors swirling about together in there. This ball getting bigger, moving into the solar plexus and adding yellow. Moving down to the sacral chakra, adding orange. And then moving into the red. Altogether, these colors form a pearlescent white. All the colors together, white. A big ball of light. And now you send it in a straight line down to the ground. This ball of light descends into the ground as if there is a channel made for it, going straight down into the earth. Way, way down. It drops in a plumb line, faster than you can imagine, going through the earth now, dropping fast, down, 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 this ball of light. Still a beam of light connected to your root. All the way down to the center of the earth. And it connects to the mother, connects to her heart, to her love. And she sends a beam of light now back up, sending it up, a huge beam of light, a huge beam of light from Mother Earth, from the mother grounding you. A huge beam of light coming in up, 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 really, really fast up through the earth and emerging from the earth and coming right into your root chakra, where it splashes and spreads and moves on up, extends on up. It continues to come up. This big beam of light moves up through the second chakra to the third chakra. It moves up through the heart chakra to the throat chakra to the eyebrow chakra to the crown chakra, where it splashes again, spreads out into your body and fills you up with the light of earth, Mother Earth, the light of the mother nurturing you, bringing you everything that you need. Everything you desire, your support, your survival, your grounding to the here, to the now. Fill, let yourself fill up and receive. You're grounded below. And you feel gratitude. You're thankful. Perhaps even tears come to your eye. Mother Earth is so loving, so giving, so generous. She's given you your body and every physical thing. And now you ground above. Your connection to the divine, to your higher and greater self, above you. Above you, a light appears. It may be amorphous. It may be a ball of light. There may be a seem to be some kind of form there floating above you. And your crown chakra just opens up and burns with a light of intensity, a ball of light, a violet white light. Glowing on your crown. And then your third eye, a ball of light appears to your third eye, a lavender. A ball appears in your throat of light, a turquoise, a pale turquoise. A ball of light showing up, lighting up your heart, a pale summer spring green, but rich in color. Your solar plexus lights up with gold, a pale, beautiful gold, shiny, almost metallic. Your solar plexus opens up with a ball of light, of peach, and your root chakra pink ball of light. Now you have these colored balls of light, pastel shades, vibrating in your seven chakras. And now the pink one at the root moves up and merges with the chakra two. They together move up and merge with a solar plexus ball of light. Bigger ball of light now, with the colors swirling about in there. Moving up now into your heart chakra, expanding, swirling all the colors, moving up now into your throat chakra, even bigger ball, with lots of beautiful pastel colors sparkling about. And now up into your third eye, bigger yet. And now to your crown, a big, big ball of light, white, pearlescent light, beautiful light, glowing. Your brain tingles. And then you send this ball of light up now to your higher self. It's so soaring up there, and the higher self catches it. And there's a beam of light between your head and and your higher self. And the higher self sends back to you a big, big beam of light along that same line, that same track. And let it come down and splash into your crown. And extend into your third eye and extend down into your throat. Oh, big pouring stream of light into your heart now. Heart chakra, into your solar plexus. Into your sacral chakra and into your root. And you're grounded above. Let yourself fill with the light of yourself, knowing the divine of you. And you are grateful. And then you notice standing in front of you a figure. Money. Money has come to visit you, has heard your call. You want a connection with money. Let money stand there. Note the form, whatever it's morphed into, since you've met it already. And like with the elements, you send a beam of light from root to root, from second to second, from third to third, from fourth to fourth, from fifth to fifth. You're getting good at this now. From sixth to sixth and seventh to seventh. Feel the connection. You have reached out and touched money. You're giving money your energy. You and your power, knowing who you are. And let money respond. Let money send you a beam of light back, bigger, from root to root, bigger one, from second to second, bigger one, from third to third, from fourth to fourth, fifth to fifth, sixth to sixth, seventh to seventh. Allow yourself now. Give yourself permission to receive money. Give yourself permission to have financial abundance. Let it be okay to receive money. Receive. Fill up with the energy of money. The energy of giving and receiving exchange. With the archetypal force of money. Money, your friend. Feel yourself fill up with money. Feel the gratitude. And now make a turn to the left. And standing before you now, a figure of great light, awesome radiance, and tremendous presence and charisma. Your future. The future you. A year, 2, 3, 5 years down the road. No more than 5. Some future you. A future you free of the slave driver. A future you who has the channels of money flowing effortlessly. The you who knows who you are, honors and respects it, and lives according to your truth. That you, that abundant and prosperous you, in vigorous health, in power, freedom, love, and trust. That future you who gloriously and joyously loves, touches, and heals, who creates and imagines and flows a dynamic flow of passionate energy through all that you do, and who knows more of who you are than your current you does. Always learning and growing and becoming more and more. Your future awaits you. You send a beam of light from your root to your future self's root. Second to second. Third to third. Fourth to fourth. Fifth to fifth. Sixth to sixth and seventh, crown to crown. Feel the connection. You have a connection to your future. This is the you that you're becoming, and all actions will emerge from this. All successes can come in alignment with this. A joyous, wonderful life. A you who loves life. Who loves your life. And now, your future sends back to you a bigger beam along that same channel, from their root to your root, from their second chakra to yours, from the solar plexus of your future to yours, from their heart chakra to your heart chakra, from their throat to your throat, from their third eye to your third eye, and from their crown to your crown. Open, receive, let them juice you up with the juice of your future. Feel yourself filled with this light. Feel the gratitude. And feel the wholeness. Feel the completeness, the wholeness. And just allow yourself to be in this presence, to allow yourself to be. And we're going to do some work with your brain. We're going to open it up to new pathways. To anchor it and ground it to your future. To connect it to the forces. To all possibilities. To that power, freedom, love, safety, trust. and to the channels of your divine self's expression, to the law of touch, heal, to the create with passion and flow of dynamic divine energy, of learning and growing and becoming more aware of who you are and claiming your greatness, claiming your divinity, your reality creatorship. Let us work with your brain now. And new brain pathways have begun, are building, are establishing. This has just begun. It will continue. It will continue over the next hour or so. So let yourself return to body consciousness. Bring back this energy of your wholeness, of your completeness, of your juiced upness. You're ready to set forth on a new adventure of manifestation in a way that you haven't before, in a new reality that you are creating, opening your eyes. Before you get up out of your chair, please ground yourself. In a sense, you're a little disoriented. You know, maybe just kind of rub your knees or your hands or something, and be careful when you get up. You might have a different sense of balance. And go into your night with a lot of money in your wallet. You're probably a multimillionaire right now. Live accordingly. Live in that presence, in that reality, as solidly, let's make it as real as you can. Feel that energy of money you're holding with you, that you're carrying with you. Feel it as real. Live accordingly. And remember, rub it before you go to sleep. And have a good rest. Have a good sleep. Without the slave driver, you might be surprised how good it can be. You might have some interesting dreams as well. Some visitations from some friends who've been hanging around you. And then we will see you once again. But for now, farewell.